You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Each and every week, we're coming at you to talk about the Montreal Canadiens, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained when it comes to your favorite NHL franchise. Welcome to the show, episode 407 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. This week's episode titled Montreal's Off-Season Dilemma. Chasing big moves or standing pat? Lots to discuss after free agency opened this week. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, let me make some introductions. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for the show. Of course, I'm joined in the studio by my wonderful co-host. He's our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. And Rick, I know we are recording this on July 4th, which for me is Independence Day here in the United States. Kind of a big deal this year, especially because it's our 250th year as a country celebrating our independence.
And it's a big deal for a lot of our listeners who live south of the border. Yeah. So happy Independence Day to everyone celebrating the 4th of July, especially happy 250th. As you say, as we record this on the 4th of July. And for our Canadian listeners, I hope you had a happy and safe Canada Day, July 1st. The celebrations wiped out by weather in the nation's capital in Ottawa, unfortunately. But maybe you can tune in to the big fireworks show from D.C. Tonight.
Sounds great. Speaking of celebrations, should make a note that this episode marks the beginning of our 9th season of the show of Canadiens Connection.
Wow. So we're celebrating here too. 9 years of the Canadiens Connection. And when you think that on Rocket Sports, we have had a Saturday podcast going way back to 2012, it's going to be the 15th season. And the original podcast that we had was with Chris G, who created that, and I worked with him. We had 250 episodes of Habs 360. Then we've added more than 400 episodes of the Canadiens Connection. And we're not talking about little 10-minute updates, counting those as episodes. Every single episode's been between 60 and 90 minutes, a weekly recap. And we've been doing that for a very long time. And we've had some listeners with us for a very, very long time. If you're new, welcome. If you're, you've been here for the entire journey, we're grateful to your loyal listenership.
That's right. And everything comes in threes, right? So if we're talking about celebrations, there's a third notable celebration that took place this week.
Well, I'm celebrating that I lost my front tooth.
You're just going for the hockey look.
Yeah,
I think so.
No, it was. We talked about it last week. Carey Price, he was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Will be in the induction class, great class, as we talked about, in the fall, in November. But Carey had a little party at his ranch and some great pictures. If you go to PK Subban's Instagram account, obviously a ranching theme, a cowboy theme. And there's one really great picture of Carey Price in the center. Of course, he's got jeans and a cowboy hat on and a big buckle on his belt. But he is flanked by, all in cowboy hats, Charlie Lindgren, Carl Alsner, Andrew Shaw, his former goalie coach, Stefan Waite, Jeff Petrie, Jake Allen, Paul Byron, and of course, PK Subban. And we're told that others were there that weekend as well. Shea Weber, Ben Schrott. So he brought together his former mates and their families, and they had fireworks themselves out there at the Price Ranch. So take a minute and go check out PK's photos as well. Worth it, especially just an iconic photo of that legacy group that Carey Price was so close and is still close to those teammates.
That's wonderful. Love it. All right, so let's get into some roster news, because there's actually a lot of it this week. The first big splash of the week was the sudden announcement. Not that it was necessarily unexpected, it just happened very suddenly. The Canadiens announcing that they had traded longtime forward Brendan Gallagher to the Vancouver Canucks. Maybe this is the surprising part. For future considerations...
That's my grandfather would term that figure schmuckum. Nothing that Puckpedia. I give credit to Puckpedia because they say, let's stop with the future considerations. We know it's nothing.
So here, you can just have Brendan Gallagher.
There you go.
Oh, and you can not only just have him and not give us anything in return, we're also going to retain 50% of his salary.
Yeah, and this is. This is lemons into lemonade.
I guess
Canadians didn't do right by Brendan Gallagher, not playing him in the playoffs. Yes, I'll say it again. They didn't play him. He should have been playing in the playoffs. He felt he still could contribute. Many fans felt he could still contribute. And given the players in the lineup, whether it be Tex Jay, pick your poison. Joe Valeno, who was just not who wasn't qualified. Joe Valeno, there's a bit of revisionist history going on about what a great season he had in Montreal. Do you know that in 61 games in the regular season, he had a grand total of, let me see, carry the one, two, 5 points, and was a minus 12. And in all of his playoff action, instead of Brendan Gallagher, he had one assist and was a minus 3. Joe Valeno, minus 12 in the regular season. Anyway, we're not going to get into that. Brendan Gallagher had 23 points in the regular season, and he had a goal in the playoffs in the three games that he played. Anyway, water under the bridge. Good for Brendan. He gets to play for his hometown team. He's happy, and he put on, you know, he controlled this situation. He was obviously not happy, but he controlled it, and he left on good terms, and he left with a smile on his face. He always spoke to the fans and talked about how appreciative he was of his new adopted home, Montreal.
Mm-hmm. In fact, he said, quote, "I've always felt the fans' love. There's no other place like Montreal. This connection is very special. I'm leaving for now, but I'll be back. You'll see me again because this place will always be home."
And it is. His spouse is from the area. One child, another on the way very soon. And Ken Hughes said kind of what we all feel. Brendan will always hold a special place in the hearts of Canadiens fans. He represented the team with such tremendous determination, passion, and inspiring courage. He is the very definition of a warrior, always putting the team's success ahead of his own individual accolades. Lots of Canadiens, the Montreal reporters are talking about, oh, this is a perfect opportunity. He can go to Vancouver. He can play a lot. He can show other teams that he can be a valuable contributor in the playoffs. And he can get traded at the trade deadline and maybe win a Stanley Cup. So if all of that is true, why couldn't he do that in Montreal? Why couldn't he be a valuable contributor in the playoffs last year when the Canadiens went to the Eastern Conference Final? I know, rant done. We only wish good things for Brendan Gallagher.
Definitely. There were some trades this week.
Sort of.
The Canadiens acquired defenseman Maximilian Schuber from the Utah Mammoth in exchange for Joshua Waugh.
Yeah, Joshua is, they're a great hope for Joshua Waugh. And he got well more than his fair share of opportunities. It seemed that the Canadiens went way out of their way to let him show what he could do, and that didn't turn out to be much at the NHL level. At skills, and he shows them at the AHL level, it just doesn't translate when he gets to the NHL. Hockey sense not quite there, the processing of the game at a higher speed not quite there. So it was time for the Canadiens to move on from him. And Max Schuber, big defenseman, 6'3", 215, 23 years old, left shot, born in Poland, and grew up in Germany. AHL player last year. Mm-hmm. And you got some stats about that, I think.
Yeah, he played for the Tucson Roadrunners. He had 27 points in his 65 games. That was 11 goals and 16 assists. So not too shabby for his AHL season. Looking forward to seeing what the sixth rounder from the 2022 draft can do for the Laval Rocket.
It sounds like a nice young man, and he put out a really nice message on his Instagram account. I want to say thank you to the Utah Mammoth organization, Tucson Roadrunners, my teammates, coaches, staff, and everyone who supported me. From the moment I arrived, I was given the opportunity to grow as a player and a person. I'm grateful for the trust, friendships, and experiences we've all shared. I'll always appreciate everyone who helped me along the way and the incredible fans who supported us every step of the way. Now I'm excited for a new challenge and can't wait to get started with the Montreal Canadiens organization.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did Joshua put out a statement? I don't know if he did.
He may have.
He may have. I didn't see one.
I didn't see one.
Looking forward to seeing Maximilian Schuber in Laval. Of course, this week also was the deadline to tender qualifying offers to any RFAs, restricted free agents, on the roster. On Monday, the Canadiens did do that. They submitted qualifying offers to forwards Zach Bolduc, Kirby Dach, Jared Davidson, Sean Farrell, Brett Berard, who we mentioned last week they acquired from the Rangers for William Trudeau, and Hunter McCown, who again last week they acquired through a trade with Columbus for Luke Tuck, as well as to newly acquired defenseman Maximilian Schuber and Arber Jacki.
So no, well, maybe the surprise in there is Kirby Dach. Some fans, is it worth the $4 million qualifying offer? Probably not, but you knew that Kent Hughes wasn't going to end up with egg on his face after making that big trade for Kirby Dach and to let him go for free. The only significant exclusion was Joe Valeno. Joe Valeno did not receive a qualifying offer from the Canadiens, became an unrestricted free agent, And he signed a one-year deal with the Rangers to become their fourth-line center.
Alrighty. There was a big contract extension signed this week. I like this one. They have locked up Ivan Demidov to an 8-year contract extension. That's going to run through the 2034-35 season. Starts in the 2027-28 season. With an average annual salary of $9.15 million.
So he took advice from his agent, and he took advice from Lane Hudson, and yep. He ended up with a contract very similar to Lane Hudson. Could he have dazzled us this upcoming year and got more money? Probably could have, but looked very, very happy in the press conference on the 1st of July, having got that, all the contract situations out of the way. And is going to be a Montreal Canadian for a very long time, and with a healthy paycheck to go along with it. Last year, he had 19 goals, 43 assists in 82 games, and was second in the Calder Memorial Trophy voting.
Excellent. I think it was a great deal. Great to have him locked up for 8 years. Very team-friendly contract, which is helpful. He seemed pretty happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy who was happy about his new contract was goaltender Jakub Dobesh, who got inked to a 3-year contract extension. Again, that one also starts in the 2027-28 season. He still has a year left on his current deal. So that will run him through the 2029-30 season with an average annual salary of
$5,357,575. $5.4 million sounds like a lot of money, but that puts Jakub Dobesh 20th, I believe, in terms of goalie salaries. I think that's fair. Could he have gotten more money if he, you know, had a fabulous season this season? Is there a risk? Sure, all of that is to be considered, but why was it necessary to pay him the money that he was paid? Well, he had a really good season. Canadians don't make the playoffs without him saving the season. Remember how dismal Sam Montembeau was, and despite that fact, Marty St. Louis kept playing him, and yet it was Dobesh and Fowler who carried the ball in December. And then onward, Dobesh finishing, he had played 43 games, had a record of 29-10-4, 278 goals against, and a 901 save percentage, and in the playoffs was simply the best goaltender in the playoffs, according to goals saved above average, and is the reason that the Canadiens went to the Eastern Conference Final. He is the reason that the Canadiens went beyond the first round. I think, you know, when you look back at most valuable players for the Montreal Canadiens over the past year, you can make a case for Nick Suzuki and his 100, getting beyond the 100-point plateau, Cole Caulfield, 50-goal plateau, Lane Hudson not having the sophomore jinx, Ivan Demidov adjusting so well to the NHL in his first season. But for my money, it's Jakub Dobesh. Without Jakub Dobesh, none of the other stuff really is important. He was the one that saved the season and solidified the goalie position for the Montreal Canadiens. Remember, he was a rookie. He was fourth in voting for the Calder last year. And so this is a team friendly contract. It's a good contract for Jakub Dobesh. He had lots of options because he had arbitration rights. The Canadiens have also bought a couple years of free agency as well. So I think this is a really good contract for both sides. And listen, it doesn't preempt anything about Jacob Fowler. Jacob Fowler could still become the number one goaltender for the Canadiens. Or, listen, don't count out Jakub Dobesh. He could become the number one goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens, and either is very positive Canadians goaltending situation is in pretty good hands going forward. Now, all that has to happen is Sam Montembeau needs to be traded this summer, by the way, to avoid any kind of circus in the fall. There was not widely reported, but there was some no movement clauses attached to this contract.
There were, according to Puckpedia, there is a seven. Jakub Dobish has a 7-team no trade list in year two of this contract. That drops to a 5-team no trade list in the third year. So, congratulations to Dobish. Great to see him. You know, and I agree with you. This does not get in the way of Jacob Fowler. Mm-mm. This instead ensures that they have a solid goaltender locked up for a little while, for a few years, while Jacob Fowler learns and develops. Remember, Jacob Fowler is young. He's not, you know, he needs to play games. He needs to play games in tandem with Jakub Dobish. And so this, without putting a ton of pressure on Jacob Fowler that he has to be the guy right out of the gate, this allows him to just kind of slow and steady wins the race, you know, and gives them time to evaluate, gives them time without there being a ton of pressure.
And the NHL is turning into a two goalie league. We saw with Carolina, we saw with many teams. So, you know, are you going to be terribly worried if the goaltending department is spending $5 million on Jakub Dobish as a backup who's playing 35 games? No, you're not. Are you going to be thrilled if he's the number one goalie and you're spending $5 million on that? Of course you are. Mm-hmm. So this is well managed by both Jakub Dobish, his agent, Jerry Johansson, and Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens.
Definitely. To round out the roster news, we said there was a lot of roster news. To round out the roster news, a little bit of bittersweet news. Very longtime director of player development, Rob Ramage, has announced his retirement after 12 years with the organization.
I like Rob Ramage. We met him. We've sat through games with him. He's always positive. He's always in good humor. He always points out and tells you something you didn't know. You know, even in his pressers after development camp, he doesn't you know, regurgitate things that you've heard before. He's always got a little story to tell, a little anecdote about the prospect. He knows the prospects unbelievably well. He is such a genuine guy.
And really
has such a direct kind of no-nonsense relationship with all of them. You remember how good he was with Logan Mailloux, mm-hmm. and that situation, but it's like that with all of them. And he traveled, you know, you'd hear from prospects and, oh yeah, Rammer was just here. He was all over traveling and with Frankie Bouillon mostly focused on CHL defensemen. There was a lot of territory to cover. Yeah. Rob Ramage did it well, and he did it with good humor. He's going to be missed.
Big shoes to fill.
Not clear exactly what's going to happen. Frankie Bouillon, of course, took the spokesperson role in development camp, but is listed still as a player development coach. So we'll see how that, if they add somebody to that group, Laurie Korpikoski is a European player development coach to check on those prospects. But we'll see. It's a really key, I mean, there's drafting prospects, but then there's the development of them and transition to the NHL. And Rob Ramage played a really key role in that whole process and really revamped what the Canadians had been doing or not doing more accurately in many years.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Gorton in his statement said, quote, on behalf of the entire organization, we would like to thank Rob for everything that he did for our team during the past 12 years. And we want to wish him all the best in his future projects. Rob was a key part of what we established here as far as our development culture, which we wanted to elevate to the highest standards in the NHL. So as I said, big shoes to fill if they want to maintain that level of development culture, as he says. All right, let's switch gears now from the current roster to the Habs prospects and check in on them.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Summer hockey calendar just keeps zooming right along. Can you believe it was Canadiens development camp this week?
Sure was.
Blink your eyes and development camp is here and gone. Just crazy. There was a good showing of prospects there, of course. One of which was not, unfortunately, Gleb Pugachev.
Who were people really wanting to see? Probably the two that folks really wanted to see, Gleb Pugachev, as you said, and another one was Bryce Pickford.
Bryce Pickford, they announced like the second day of camp, he wasn't doing on ice sessions because he was scheduled for shoulder surgery the next day. So
shoulder surgery on Thursday. And so, did not participate. And Gleb, well, is that visa thing that got in the way. Same thing, same problem. The paperwork didn't get processed quickly enough. Same thing that happened to Zhirovsky last year. Yeah.
Yep.
So if those were the two that you really wanted to see, you didn't get a chance to see them.
No.
However, there was another guy. I think Michael Hage had, there was some interest in,
I think so,
by Canadiens fans in seeing Michael Hage, I think.
I think so. And he confirmed that right now the plan is still to return to Michigan in the fall. He said, quote, "I think a lot of things can change, but right now my decision is to go back to school. Maybe things will change, but I believe this was the best decision for me. I definitely want to play for the Canadiens. It's the team I've watched my whole life. A very exciting, very young team. I don't want to play for another team." I wouldn't have. And he goes on to talk about, you know, people asked, what about, you know, you could have joined the Canadiens during their playoff run. He said, "I wouldn't have been able to play at the end of the year during the Frozen Four. My ankle wasn't fantastic. I wouldn't have been able to live up to my expectations." And his last little quotable, Rick, I think was one that perked some people up.
Well, yeah. And I mean, Jeff Gorton kind of triggered the fact that Hage was surrounded by the Montreal media and peppered with questions about, is there a chance, because Gorton said, we respect his opinion, but said, you know, it's a long summer. Things could change. Things could change at Michigan. And if things do change for him, we're standing by ready to talk about it. And you heard, as Amy read his quotes, I mean, he didn't slam the door completely shut, but basically he said, I've made my decision and the Canadiens have accepted my decision. And, mm-hmm. and one of the reasons that he really wants to go back is kind of unfinished business. Yes, he participated in the Frozen Four, but not to his capabilities. That he had the high ankle sprain, and couldn't perform, the way he feels that he was able to. And so he wants to go back and finish that as one of the older players for Michigan. And he wants to do it as a center. Quote, "I want to be a center in the NHL." He's a smart guy, mm-hmm. Very aware. He knows about the discussion. He knows that Frankie Bullion said, I don't know if he can be a center in the NHL. He kind of put his foot down. I want to be a center. And so if it takes going back to Michigan to prove what an effective center I can be in all situations, offensive, defensive, face-offs at the end of the game. In every situation, I'm going to take the bet on me and prove that I can settle this debate once and for all. So you got to admire his courage, his strength, his character.
Mm-hmm. He also says he wants to continue working on his leadership skills because he says that being a leader is very important to him.
Exactly. And listen, as far as that was the way he performed off the ice, as performing on the ice, I mean, your eye is attracted to him every time he touched the puck. During the scrimmages, he was very dynamic, smooth. He protects the puck like nobody else. And, you know, he's been compared to Jack Eichel, and that's kind of his model, the player that he models his game after. Is he there yet? No, but you can see the kind of player that he's forming into. And I mean, it only means good things for the Canadians. Yes, of course, the Canadians want him. Canadians fans want him in the lineup now, this fall. Fill the second line center role, but be patient. Just be patient and do it the right way, and you'll end up having a better player in the long run. And you really have to admire the way he stood up for himself, stood up to the Canadians, knowing that there's such a demand for him by the organization and the fan base.
And they had some nice inspiration at development camp. Lane Hutson and Jake Evans on hand, serving as guest speakers to welcome the prospects.
Yeah, and they talked about what it was like, what their journey was like, what they got out of development camp, and lessons that they learned, and then how they incorporated those lessons into their game once they went back to their teams. As far as other players that kind of kept an eye on, I really think that an under the radar kind of guy is Logan Sawyer, and he had a really nice goal. He played a little bit with Michael Hage in the scrimmage. Keep an eye on Logan Sawyer. LJ Mooney, man, if he just had a little bit more size. Head turning skill, and he's a bit feisty too. He's got that Brendan Gallagher kind of grit in him. Likes to, and he spoke about that. He noticed who the Canadians are developing, and he said, "I can play that way too." He likes to win battles. He likes to get in the scrum. He got to play with Jurovsky and said what amazing talent Jurovsky was. And for Jurovsky, I thought he looked nervous on the ice, and he was nervous on and off the ice. And part of that was everything is all just absolutely brand new for him. There's a language barrier currently, and goaltender Arseny Radkov, he always seems to become this impromptu interpreter. And he did so again for Jurovsky. And it was nice for Jurovsky to have other players who he can talk to. Mm-hmm. And with Radkov being one of them. There's Tim Runso, who also, he played in Victoria, but at home, he speaks Russian, Belarusian. He's for his dad is the media seem more interested less in Tim and more in his dad. They wanted to know all about his stuntman dad, who's been, what was he in? Have you ever been on the set? All those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
He's a really good skater. He's got a good shot. I thought he was pretty good in camp. Cooper Cleaves, another one. It's that kind of, that kind of week that that it's nice to see them all in the same place and give you hope about the future. None of those guys are going to be stepping into the lineup immediately, and that's okay. But they were there to make an impression, there to learn more about the culture of being a Montreal Canadian, get some tips on things that they could do with respect to nutrition and strength training and training over the summer, and all of that.
And for a couple of them, things will continue in a few weeks because USA Hockey has invited two of those prospects to the World Junior Summer Showcase at the end of July. That's kind of the prep exhibition tournament that they hold every summer for teams to start evaluating their potential picks for their World Junior rosters. And that's LJ Mooney and Timofey Runso are both invited by USA Hockey to participate.
Yeah, that showcase, we've been to that showcase before.
A bunch of times, yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of times. This time in Windsor, it's all the under-20s who, it's seen as the first step in the selection process for the World Juniors. Canada will be there, the U.S., obviously, Finland and Sweden. They do practices, they play some games, and it's, you get the first hint of maybe which way that the teams are seeing their prospects.
Definitely. One other note for Habs prospects, just some Laval Rocket news. The Canadians also signed some AHL contracts this week. Goaltender Kaapo Kähkönen got a one-year, one-way contract. They also signed forwards Alex Belzile and Sam Poulin, as well as defenseman Ethan Sampson, to one-year, two-way contracts. Those are NHL two-way contracts.
And while we're on Laval, Owen Protz was at development camp, and he'll be joining the Laval Rocket this season. And he was just beaming the entire week. He mentioned, hey, you've seen the Stanley Cup champions, Florida twice, Carolina. They're playing with a pretty aggressive style. That's my style. my chances are increasing. So he said he'd love to play for the Montreal Canadiens in playing for a Stanley Cup. I love getting my hands dirty, and that's what you do in the playoffs. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he was saying, and saying that he's noticed the trends in the NHL, and that hopefully the trend works in his favor. He went on to say, I know I was drafted for a reason. And oh, by the way, they drafted Gleb too. So looks like he's looking forward to a time when the two of them get to suit up together and both cause mayhem on the ice.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
If you thought that last week was just bonkers in terms of NHL news and movement and whatnot, well, this week, I don't know, was trying to outdo last week. Let's start with Columbus. Zach Werenski rejecting a trade to the Dallas Stars. Huge kerfuffle, so much speculation. And finally, Zach Werenski and Don Waddell pretty much just put the fire out by both issuing their own individual statements saying, look, it was never supposed to turn into this whole big thing. We're sorry that it did. Zach's happy coming back to Columbus, and that's going to be that.
So they caused this big explosion. Zach Werenski apparently saying to Waddell that, or the agent communicated that he wasn't going to, didn't want to stay after his contract was up. That put in motion the whole trade apparatus and things happening. And then it was kind of, oops, sorry. I'd like it here. I'm going to stay. Kind of bizarre, pretty bizarre, but that's the way it went. Dallas and Thomas Harley, and I mean, it affected so many people, but it all got reeled back in.
It did. Speaking of Dallas, Jason Robertson rejected a trade to the Seattle Kraken. Said, nope, not going to change my no trade clause for that. Even though the offer was worth allegedly approximately $15 million per year on an 8-year deal.
So do the math. No, a big fat no to $125 million. And, you know, lots of speculation on why that is. Seattle, all you have to look at is all the closures of businesses. Everybody's moving out of Seattle. Economy's gone in the tank. A millionaire tax is coming. So maybe that played into it. But yeah, for now, tough for Jim Nill, the Dallas GM with the whole issue with Columbus and then this particular situation, Jason Roberts, we'll see how that all shakes out.
Yeah. There are a lot of big name players who changed teams this week.
This list was hard to pare down.
I'm going to need like a primer come training camp in the fall preseason, because I'm not going to remember who plays for who now. There's so many different ones.
Yeah.
Bobrovsky is now a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Good luck with that.
John Carlson is in Tampa Bay. Jacob Markstrom, Radko Gudas, and Lars Eller all went to the Panthers.
Good on Lars Eller.
Yeah, you know? Good on Lars Eller. I will say good on Noah Juleson too.
With Colorado, yeah.
He signed a contract with Colorado, a 2-year deal, I think.
They keep playing and making themselves relevant and making themselves attractive to buyers. Yeah.
Freddie Anderson switching coasts and countries. He's going to be the goaltender in Edmonton.
Again, good luck with that.
And I think probably least surprising is that Alex Ovechkin isn't done yet. He's coming back for at least another season with the Capitals.
Most surprising was seeing the picture of him signing, and my goodness, he's aged considerably.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But I mean, all of these teams, who's better? And I'm talking about the East. The Panthers are far better than they were last year, both because the changes that they've made plus their injury situation. The Leafs are much better. Whether that'll make a difference in the playoff race or not, who knows? Capitals are better. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay Lightning are better.
Buffalo got better.
So let's. It's we'll get to this in the second segment, but there's no reason why the Canadiens fans are panicking to a certain extent that there haven't been any significant moves made by Kent Hughes yet this summer.
Flyers fans aren't feeling that way.
No,
I can tell you that. Might have been Frank Cervelli. Elliot Friedman also kind of alluded to this as well. It doesn't even matter if this doesn't work. Like, you might as well just erect statues of Danny Briere and Keith Jones out in front of the stadium at this point, because Ed Snyder is smiling down proudly. Elliot Friedman saying, these guys are running the team the way the Broad Street Bullies used to be run, and they're not afraid of that. And they're just endearing themselves to fans when they drop a hostile offer sheet on Anaheim's Ducks center Leo Carlson that was one of apparently four different offer sheets. This is obviously the one that he said okay for 5 years, $18 million a year.
Wow. In case you haven't been keeping score, that would make him the highest paid player in the National Hockey League.
Yeah. Philly swinging for the fences. I like it. Anaheim has until July 10th to match it. If they don't, they get four first round draft picks from Philadelphia.
And We have even a polite disagreement within our own Rocket Sports team. We talked about this on Slack. My esteemed colleagues think this is way too much money for a player of Leo Carlson's caliber, and describe it as being a very risky move by the Philadelphia Flyers. I seem to. Is he worth that much right now? No, he isn't. But I don't think that's the point of offer sheets, hostile offer sheets. When Bergevin, put that offer sheet in on Aho with Carolina, yeah, it was weak. It was incredibly weak. And he figured out, okay, this is what this guy's worth, and this is what I'll... No, that's not the point, because then the other team matches it easily. You want to put the other team in a predicament. And have the Flyers put Anaheim in an enormous predicament. Mm-hmm. Pat Verbeek is going to have big trouble no matter what decision he makes here. And that's what the $18 million is all about. So it was, in my opinion, first of all, this is creative. This is a creative way to go about landing a top center on your team. And this offer sheet is really well crafted. Number one, first, it beat out the other three, if indeed there were there were a total of four offer sheets. And the fact that it is going to be tough on Anaheim, because Pat Verbeek said that they'd match any offer sheet. There was rumblings about this, that they'd match. Well, they were trying to get Leo Carlson to sign for between reportedly $10 and $12 million a year. Verbeek had in his mind that even if we had to go to 15, we'd manage that. Well, this 18 number is a whole different stratosphere, and that just throws their salary structure. If they go ahead and match, their salary structure is completely out of whack. They've got Cutter Gauthier to deal with. They've got Minchikov, and it's been rumored that he's a target as well.
For an offer sheet.
This is, and the fact
Beckett that, Seneca.
That this offer sheet is really heavily front-loaded. Something like... $39 million due to Carlson in the first 365 days, something to that effect. So this is something to watch. And you pointed out the Elliot Friedman article, which is
I think
he lays it out perfectly.
He does.
That this something like this changes the landscape of the NHL.
Mm-hmm. This is the start of a new era, in a new offer sheet era in the NHL. Danny Briere saying, screw it, I'm going for it. This is going to change the way other players, even if Anaheim matches, you're looking at players who are, I don't know, roughly the same age as Leo Carlson, roughly the same capability. And they're then turning around and saying, oh, well, if someone was going to pay him $18 million, what are you paying me? This is going to upset the app. And that's why a lot of people are saying that the league is going to take its revenge on Briere and Jonesy and the Flyers, that they're not going to forget this because it's going to cause a whole raft of trouble for all sorts of GMs. Hey, status quo for so long.
If it works, the Canadians have been having difficulty. They've been having difficulty filling that second line center role. And we've heard Kent Hughes has been on the phone nonstop. He's on the phone more than anybody else. We heard that about Bergevin as well. But the issue is, what were the Canadians going to have to give up? And when you hear the rumored return for Matthew Nyes or Marchenko or those are players that the Canadians don't want to give up. They don't want to give up. And for the Flyers in this situation, what do they care about giving up four first round picks? If this works, those picks are going to be low. Those are going to be late first round picks, all four of them. So potentially. So anyway, fascinating, creative, controversial, but an absolute bombshell this week.
And it's the second offer sheet this offseason.
They're becoming more frequent. We know it happened last year as well.
It did. New Jersey Devils signed forward Barrett Hayton to a one-year $4.7 million contract on Wednesday. That's an offer sheet as well. So the Mammoth have until July 8th to match that, or they get a second round draft pick as compensation. So there's two up in the air right now.
And we'll find it out. We'll find out about it this week.
We definitely will. I think we're all waiting on pins and needles. We're also all waiting on pins and needles to find out like what the deal is going to be with the Montreal Canadiens this offseason. If there's going to be anything at all, because we've been waiting and waiting and waiting in the last couple of weeks. I think some of the frustration or anticipation is starting to build. So we're going to tackle our big topic segment right after this. Can you get behind a stand pat summer from Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens? We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to dive into all of that and much more. It is not something you're going to want to miss. And of course, we will have a Canadiens Connection question of the week for you as well. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Stanley Cup may have been awarded to the Carolina Hurricanes, but that doesn't mean that the opportunity to bet on hockey and all of your favorite sports has ended. In fact, the DraftKings Sportsbook app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. So sweat every shift, every inning, every quarter, every minute of your favorite sport, all in one place with one app. Now, new DraftKings customers, sign up with code THPN, spend $5 to get 200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code THPN in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet text pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
And welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson, your host for the show, joined in the studio, of course, by my wonderful co-host, our president and founder, Rick Stevens. Be sure, if you're over on Twitter, over on X, be sure you're following him at Rocket Sports. That is our main hub for all of our Rocket Sports Media Montreal Canadiens coverage, whether it's podcasts, whether it's video, whether it's written articles, whether it's just updates that are tweeted and that type of thing, posted or whatever. You want to be following at Rocket Sports. You also want to follow this podcast in particular. It has its own account on X, Facebook, and Instagram. The handle for that is at Habs Connection. And if you are wanting to be sure that you don't miss out on any Habs news or analysis all summer long, then tap the subscribe button, because we're here all summer long. We will not be taking a week off in the off season because there's just too much to talk about. So make sure you hit subscribe. You know, a funny thing happened over the past couple of weeks. We got closer and closer to the NHL draft, which kind of, you know, the playoff run ended for the Canadiens, and it was kind of immediately like, oh, the draft is in 2 weeks. And in that short time frame, draft, free agency, etc. The expectations, it felt like, around the Canadians just kept building and building and building. You know, fans and media, everybody talking about big trades, big free agency things, top six forwards. You know, could Kent Hughes push the team another step closer to contention? And then all of that went by and not really much happened. Canadians made their draft picks. They stayed away from the frenzy part of free agency. And a lot of the names that maybe fans had started to get hopeful about kind of found new homes or got taken off the table, and Montreal pretty much kind of stood pat. Now, we're not saying that that necessarily means the offseason has been a failure. It might just simply mean that the Canadians didn't feel the right opportunity presented itself. We've heard Kent Hughes say time and time again that he's not interested in making a move just for the sake of making a move. His history suggests he's willing to be patient if the situation or the price isn't right. And we're totally okay with that. If that ends up being what is right for the long run, if there is a kind of a plan B in place. So that means the question now is whether or not that is the right approach for the team at this stage. You know, have the Canadians earned the right to just bet on internal improvement? Is another year of growth from their young core enough to keep them moving in the right direction? Or is this / was this the summer to be more aggressive? Is there still some potential big move lurking out there that Hughes could pull off? And that's why, you know, this segment is, can you get behind a summer of Kent Hughes standing pat if that ends up being what he decides to do? Rick, I guess we're asking fans to kind of step back and weigh the possibilities. Are you comfortable with that if that happens, or were you hoping to see Kent Hughes make a bigger splash?
Well, let's just say that the Montreal Canadiens, the team, the fans, they got caught up in playoff fever, and why wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. The Montreal Canadiens unexpectedly made it to the Eastern Conference Final, and once they got there against the much stronger, better prepared, better coached Carolina Hurricanes, it was clear that the Montreal Canadiens had arrived before they were ready. And really, you want to be frank about it, the only reason that the Montreal Canadiens got there was because of Jakub Dobysh. Remember, even to get out of the first round, it wasn't the Montreal Canadiens. You know, what was the game seven shot total again? Mm. And it was Jakub Dobysh that bested Andrei Vasilevskiy, mm-hmm, and delivered the Montreal Canadiens to the second round and then the third round. So it was natural for the Canadiens fans to start thinking, oh, we're here. We got to the third round this year. We got to the Eastern Conference Final this year. We're only one step away from the Stanley Cup final. And you know, what do we have to do to get there? Oh, there's a hole in second line center. There's a problem on defense. Okay, Kent, get busy, fill those, and let's go for next season. Mm-hmm. And maybe Kent Hughes got a little bit caught up in that too.
Maybe.
Maybe he did, or maybe it was some other members of the hockey ops staff. But it was interesting. Yeah, I mean, there was expectations. Was something going to happen at the draft? Was something going to happen on the first day of free agency? And what happened on the first day of free agency is that the Montreal Canadiens didn't have anything to present except Ivan Demidov. And I'm not saying that you could consider him a consolation prize. He's fabulous. extraordinary, unique, and is going to be a star in the NHL. But the Canadians didn't have anything to display to compliment Demidov. So they did a bit of sleight of hand and a bit of misdirection, and presented a fabulous contract for a fabulous team-friendly contract for Demidov. And you could tell during that press conference, Hughes was clearly showing signs of pressure that I don't know that I've seen in the whole time he's been in Montreal. He was clearly defensive, and saying, well, it's not for a lack of trying. I've been on the phone. Gortz keeps telling me I spend too much time on the phone. But what were all of these expectations? Yes, there were runaway expectations because of how the Canadian season ended up. But also, it was Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes that created those expectations. And you can go back to last summer when they said in the summer of 2025, yes, we're going to do some things this summer, but just wait till next summer.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait. They kind of created those same expectations around the trade deadline. As we know, nothing happened. They created big expectations around the NHL draft because they had always done something during draft week. Nothing happened. In fact, when you look at our previous podcast, we talked about why is nobody talking about why are Canadians fans not talking about the draft? Why are they not so focused on mocks? Why are they? Because the assumption was that some of those picks and maybe some from the roster and prospects would be packaged together to land what was to fill one of the holes in the lineup. So Kent Hughes was showing some pressure. Now, I have to wonder, is that going to force his hand to do something that he'd otherwise uncharacteristically do?
We hope not.
We hope not. Yeah.
We hope not. We know that there were names that kept getting, you know, circulating amongst the speculation and rumors that were attached to the Montreal Canadiens. But those have, for a number of different reasons, fizzled out or dried up. Nico Hischier was one of them.
Yeah, lots of names put out by the media, lots of names put out by those trade target boards, fans putting their own spin on it. Nico Hischier signed with the Devils. He was off the board. We've talked about these potentials in the past. Robert Thomas would have been a great fit for Montreal, but we were told that he was taken off the trade market by the Blues. This week we learned that Hughes checked it with the Islanders on Bo Horvat and Matt Barzal. He was told they aren't available. So that list of potential targets dried up pretty quick.
And other teams made moves that maybe some Canadians fans were scratching their heads thinking, why wasn't Ken Hughes involved in that kind of a move?
Mason McTavish to the Blues, I'm fine with that. I don't think he was a solution for what ails the Canadians. Vinny Trocheck to Utah. We're told that the Canadians were not on his list. Jordan Kyrou to the Washington Capitals. I think the Washington Capitals did some crafty, some really smart moves. And I saw some potential for Jordan Kyrou, although I'm not crying a river that Hughes didn't get him. But Kyrou to the Capitals. Mason Margement was a name thrown around a lot, a free agent that could have brought size to the Canadiens. He went to a sentimental choice. He went to San Jose. And then there were way too big contracts given out to right-handed defenders that I'm fine with the Canadians passing on them. We're asking you, are you okay with the Canadians passing on these players like Trouba, John Carlson wouldn't have come to Montreal, Rasmus Anderson, lots of money flowed, and for the most part, Kent Hughes stayed right out of it.
And maybe fans are okay with that. Maybe this is all, just kind of okay. We're glad you didn't do that. But then you have to package that in too with the quote unquote moves that never, the potential moves that Kent Hughes has either talked about or has been strongly reported on that he was trying to do that didn't materialize. Talking about, first of all, back at the trade deadline, the Matthew Nyes potential trade that was supposed to be a blockbuster that fell apart.
Yeah, happened too late for the trade deadline. We know that the package would include approximately a first-round pick, Shirovsky, and another top prospect. Some of the best moves are the moves that you don't get to make. Mm-hmm. Would that have been given too much? And seeing the way Shirovsky has enjoyed his time in Montreal and enjoyed the connection with Ivan Demidov, maybe that was an absolute blessing in disguise.
It could have been. There's also reportedly a massive offer that the Canadians made to try to get Kirill Marchenko from the Blue Jackets.
And that wasn't agreed to. Frank Cervelli, interesting language that he used in describing the Canadians' offer for Marchenko. Cervelli said, "I don't know the pieces involved, but the way it's been framed to me, it's the Canadians might have looked borderline insane for putting this deal on the table for Marchenko. That's how big it was." So maybe
another blessing in disguise.
Maybe another blessing in disguise that would have fixed one thing, but would have caused an uproar from Canadians fans for what the return was.
So then you have to take into consideration. So you've got, okay, the potential targets that fizzled out, the potential players that other teams made different moves and those players went elsewhere. We've taken into consideration the moves that Kent Hughes tried to make that didn't materialize. Then you have to take into the fold, using a phrase that Rick used in the first segment, the creative solutions attempted by other teams. Talking about the offer sheets, particularly the Flyers' hostile offer sheet on Leo Carlson.
Yeah, they want a top flight center. Maybe didn't want to give up the pieces that it were required to do that. And Anaheim isn't going to be agreeable to trading them a Leo Carlson, but they feel that he might be a good fit. And so they come up with a very aggressive solution to try and land him. Now it's speculated that the Canadians may have put in an offer sheet. Was it on Carlson? We don't know. But would you have been okay with that? As a Canadians fan, would you have been okay for that kind of solution? The only kind of insight we have is from Kent Hughes, and this week he said, quote, "We will not make stupid decisions that might appease the passion of our fans in the short term, only for them to ask us a year later, what did you get us into? We're definitely going to make this team better. I have no doubt about it. I just don't know when." And he may have kind of foreshadowed this whole business about hostile offer sheets. He said, quote, "When you go after a player, you have to be consistent. You can't bring in a $20 million guy who's going to have to thank Yvonne, Cole, and Nick for the $20 million. What is he talking about there? Well, we've been talking about team-friendly deals. Mm-hmm. Each one of these, whether it's Demidov, whether it's Hudson, whether it's Suzuki, whether it's Caulfield, Dobish, they've all signed for team-friendly deals so that the Canadians could afford to put together a Stanley Cup contender. Now, if you've saved all this money and then you go and throw it away on one player, yeah, I think that you might and toss your salary structure in the garbage can. You might have some players saying, "What are you doing with our money? The money that you saved from us." Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting. Now, when Kent Hughes said, "We will not make stupid decisions that might appease the passion of our fans in the short term," you have to wonder about Frank Cervelli and saying that they put a borderline insane offer in for Marchenko. There seems to be some inconsistency there, but, you know, be it as it may, that's what he had said this week.
And when all else fails, kick the can down the road.
Well, he says,
which unfortunately has been happening too often.
Yeah, Kent Hughes is famous for this, pointing to the next landmark, the next milestone. And in that quote that I read, and I'll read it again, "We're definitely going to make this team better. I have no doubt about it. I just don't know when." And we know that he said, you know, if we don't make a trade this summer, maybe we'll make one in September or October or November. And he said that three times. He used the November trade three times. And that's kind of, and you've heard, I've heard it so many times by the Montreal media this past week. They have this theory and that they feel that Kent ascribes to this theory that teams, after a month of the season, they will feel that things are not going the way they wanted to go. They look at the milestone of U.S. Thanksgiving. They may not be in line to make the playoffs, so that they are more inclined to trade. Kent is pointing to that, and boy, there's a lot of drum banging by the Montreal media. Hey, listen, don't worry. Would you just wait till November 2026, and then, oh my goodness. Now, the Montreal media could do this. They have access to the internet, I'm sure. They could look at the trade history for the past two Novembers, as I did. last November 2025, there was one trade in the NHL. So there's this theory that all these teams who aren't reaching their expectations, aren't going to make the playoffs, are going to start unloading players, and you're going to cash in at that point. Buyers are going to cash in. Well, November 2025... saw one trade in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Just one.
And that was the Ottawa Senators acquiring defenseman Dennis Gilbert from the Flyers in exchange for RFA defenseman Max Ginette.
Whoa, blockbuster. No.
No.
well, okay, so maybe November 2025, maybe that was just an anomaly. Yeah. We should look back to November 2024 because I bet there were some huge trades there. That's what all these Montreal reporters are talking about.
There were no NHL
trades. No trades, none at all.
In November 2024.
No.
For the past two seasons, there has been a grand total of one pretty minor trade in the NHL in the month of November.
So I think that you're getting pushed back to the next milestone. When November comes and nothing happens, they're going to push back to the trade deadline. And maybe that's okay. Maybe all of this is okay. Yeah. And maybe you're good with that. Maybe you're good with Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton being very, very patient and finding exactly the right solution for exactly the right price. Maybe that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But you're kind of strung along and led to believe that something is going to happen when it hasn't so far.
So if that's going to be the case, if we're kind of looking at status quo this summer instead of moving and shaking, that means that they're going to be looking internally for the solution for now. And so then you have to kind of gauge, okay, well, how has the roster been shaped differently so far this summer?
Well, so far it's been the players who are leaving. And they say sometimes you can add by subtraction. Who's out? Brendan Gallagher's out. Joe Valeno's out. Patrick Laine out. To be dealt must happen. Absolutely must happen for the stability and the confidence of our two young goaltenders in Jakub Dobish, Jacob Fowler, Sam Montembeau. The return's not important, but Sam Montembeau must be moved. Otherwise, you're going to hear, again, drum banging about how Sam Montembeau needs to be given just one more chance, and that's going to destabilize the confidence of two young goaltenders. Mm-hmm. And there are decisions to be made about defense. Got to upgrade or shore it up somehow, whether that's internally or externally, and a decision to be made on Kirby Dach. Kent Hughes was asked about that this week. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with Kirby Dach? He said, Kirby is a player with a lot of potential who hasn't been lucky with injuries. He has 1 year left before becoming an unrestricted free agent. We've made him a qualifying offer. Then we'll sit down and discuss his future in the coming days or weeks, what he wants, how he sees himself. We're going to swap ideas with him. After that, we'll make some decisions. So that's still up in the air at this point.
It is. And I think some people were wondering if they would even qualify him. I think, as you mentioned, of course, they were going to qualify him. But now it's just a matter of what decision does everybody come to as to whether or not Kirby Dach is going to be there. So we have players who have already left, players who are likely leaving, and other question marks about the status of certain players. All of that on top of the holes in the lineup that were very clearly exposed during the postseason for the Canadiens this year.
We know that for sure.
Second pair right shot defenseman, second line center.
Everybody knows that.
That's a whole heaping lot of figuring out who's filling all of those things that we just talked about. Marty St. Louis doesn't seem to be the guy to ask.
Well, the coaching staff, I think, is out of ideas. They've tried all kinds of combinations. They've tried different systems. They've tried all kinds of things to address the issues and without success. We can't say without any success. The Canadians had 106 points.
Yeah.
As we're talking specifically about the holes in the lineup, and there doesn't seem to be... there wasn't a solution last year.
No. And Jeff Gorton himself said the defense has to get upgraded.
So what is going to happen? Well, we know Pascal Vincent said two players from his roster are NHL ready and should have been playing. They would have been playing in the NHL if they played for any other team. Those two players, Owen Beck, Adam Engstrom, will they be graduated and transitioned to the NHL lineup full-time for October? Mm-hmm. And what role will Oliver Kapanen play? He was terrific last year. He did everything asked of him. 22 goals for his rookie season playing with Demidov. Is that the internal solutions? Now, we're not talking about internal solutions to get to the Stanley Cup final. Maybe, just maybe, fans are going to have to be patient. Fans aren't going to have the expectation of making it to the Eastern Conference final or the Stanley Cup final next year. Maybe they're going to have to be patient for these internal solutions to develop and for the arrival Michael Hage, Shirovsky, and down the line, mm-hmm. Owen Protz. Talk about all the people we talked about, Gleb, all the folks we talked about in development camp, and that's not going to happen anytime soon.
That's right. So we're kind of at a crossroads right now. It is possible that even though the Canadians really haven't done much of anything this summer in terms of big moves or surprising moves, that might be okay. But we're really wanting to know how fans of the Canadians are feeling. Coming off of the Eastern Conference final run, coming off of big expectations for trades and whatnot going into the draft and so on and so forth. So our question for you this week that we would love to hear your responses to is, can you get on board with a mostly stand-pat summer from Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens? If they don't make a big move, are you going to be okay with that for the summer? We want you to send us your answers to that. Tell us yes, no, maybe, and why. The ways to send in your responses, if you are new to the show, you can either text us. We have a Rocket Sports text line. The number for that is 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. If you are listening on Spotify, you can comment directly onto this episode on Spotify, so we encourage you to do that. If you're watching on YouTube, you can comment directly on the episode over on our YouTube channel if you would like to do so. Or I mentioned that this podcast has its own account on X, Facebook, and Instagram. The handle is @HabsConnection. You can leave a reply or a DM there as well. However you choose to do it, just get your answers in. We would love to know what you think. Can you get on board with a mostly stand-pat summer from Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens? On the other side of this break, we're going to hear from our sponsors over at DraftKings. We've got a great response to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week that we want to bring to you. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Stanley Cup may have been awarded to the Carolina Hurricanes, but that doesn't mean that the opportunity to bet on hockey and all of your favorite sports has ended. In fact, the DraftKings Sportsbook app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. So sweat every shift, every inning, every quarter, every minute of your favorite sport, all in one place with one app. Now, new DraftKings customers, sign up with code THPN, spend $5 to get 200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code THPN in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, that text pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
And welcome back to episode 407 of Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap that subscribe button. We don't ever want you to miss an episode, whether you're listening on your favorite podcast platform or if you're watching over on YouTube. Of course, the way to find our YouTube channel is go to insidethecanadiens.com. Also, if you can leave us a like or a review if you're enjoying the show, if you're enjoying this content. That always helps us out. We so very much appreciate that. We also appreciate it when you share the episode. No matter how you're listening or watching, there is a share button right on your platform. Just tap the share button, share this episode with your social media friends and followers, and it really goes a long way to helping us grow our community here at Canadiens Connection. Also, don't forget, get your answers into this week's question of the week. Can you get on board with a mostly stand-pat summer from Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens? Send us those responses. We want to hear what you're thinking and how you're feeling now that we've gotten past all of the big kind of monumental dates for June and the beginning of July. We'd love to hear what you think. Last week, we asked you, what grade would you give the Canadiens' performance at the 2026 NHL draft? And are you still hopeful that Kent Hughes will make a major trade this summer? We also asked, did you watch the draft at all or in its entirety? And we had a great reply on YouTube from at Dark Matter Eclipse, who says, I watched chunks of the draft where Montreal was picking. I don't care for the format. I almost missed the I almost missed their first pick. Turned the TV on and Montreal was up picking at 26 without knowing who they traded with and at what price. My draft grade for them is B-. Everyone was 6 foot and taller. Half the players with hitting ability. It's an understatement for Pugachev. Two right shot Ds, two left shot Ds. Two of the four notable for physical play. Two forwards notable for physical play. Four guys, 6 foot three, one winger. I think this was one winger for D. One 6 foot four winger, two forwards, 6 foot one, one defenseman, 6 foot. The theme of this draft was size and physicality. They were balancing out the pipeline. I can't argue with what they did. With Suzuki, Caulfield, Slavkovsky, Demidov, then Hage, Zarovsky, Pickford in the pipeline, let's face it, besides the 2C slot, offensive skill is covered. Even with another NCAA year for Hage at center, there's no guarantees, and that 2C slot is a concern. They go on to say, when Tom Wilson was introduced to the NHL, he was more of a bottom six thug and ended up developing into a 60-point-per-season player. Bigger guys often take longer. Pugachev was often used in a more defensive or checking role than offensive. I don't think they were aiming at a top six player. There's no room. Wilson expectations might be high. We'll see. Hughes and company has drafted quite well, and addressing power forward needs was long overdue. I think Pugachev is being a bit underestimated. High-end energy third-line power forward that can play up the lineup. They finish by saying, depending on qualifying Doc signing Bolduc and Jacki, the question of Veleno and Montembeau, there might not be much room for a big splash trade without moving a roster player. They have to be careful, one for the right fit, the other for who moves out. Matheson, please. Fearing it's Gouley. Severe doubts both the 2C and the right-handed defenseman needs will both be addressed, if any.
Sounds like patience to me.
Sounds like patience to me, and pretty solid on the predictions as well. So thank you. Always a very well thought out response. We really appreciate the time it took to put all of that together and for sharing your thoughts. We want to hear from you. It can be as long as that. It can be one sentence, but we want to hear from you. Make sure you get your answers in.
You guys are great. How about that comment?
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. We'll read that. I'm going to go ahead and bet that if you wrote that in, we would probably pick that as one of the best responses to read.
We get that so often, though. I don't know.
This week, we'll see.
Will the chaos calm down?
Or will it continue? Only one way to find out. Come back for our next episode of the podcast, which is next Saturday, July 11th. We will have all of the latest breaking news, whether it's the Canadiens or other teams around the NHL. We will have more to discuss about the Canadiens. You can guarantee that. And we're just going to have some fun spending all summer talking about your favorite NHL team, the Montreal Canadiens. We really appreciate you being here with us each and every week. And we look forward to seeing you next time here on the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.